Today on Richard Ellis Talks.
If you really care, if I really care about the poor, you know what'll happen? You find yourself helping the poor. Sooner or later, you're going to come across someone who is really in need, and the Holy Spirit will say now, and you have to have a mechanism that says, yes, sir.
You're listening to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. We're so grateful you've tuned into the program. Richard wants to share with you some encouragement, words of hope, and probably a laugh or two. And in today's complicated, busy life, that's exactly what's needed. Richard's talks are always straight from the Bible, filled with truth. Now, you may not be able to hang out with us for the entire program, but you can always pick it back up at our website, richardellis.com. In fact, you can find all of Richard's talks right there waiting just for you, richardellis.com. So, with today's talk, here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is Funny Money. Ralph Waldo Emerson said, money often costs too much. A lot of truth to that. Jean Paul Getty, money is like manure. You have to spread it around or it smells. Tolstoy said, money is a new form of slavery and distinguishable from the old simply by the fact that it is impersonal, that there is no human relation between master and slave. You've got to get to the place where you are willing, where you're not walking around going, oh, it's my money and I'm not going to let go of it. And you say, well, this isn't about giving money to church. You're never going to give money to church if you're not giving money to church, if you won't let go of $2 somewhere, right? You say, but it's my money. And that's where the misunderstanding is. None of it's yours. Nothing you have is yours. Forget the money. If you're a Christian, your life doesn't even belong to you. And the sooner you figure this out, the whole lot easier life will go for you. And you say, well, what if I get taken? Here's what I see about that. If the Holy Spirit, if I'm walking and talking with God, and the Holy Spirit prompts me to do something and I obey, then I don't worry about it. It's his problem. And if they took me, they took me. And if God used that somehow in their life, you got to let that stuff go. Go to Proverbs chapter 11. Proverbs chapter 11, and we'll go to verse 24. Before we even jump into this too much, I would like to ask you a question. What do you love spending money on? Everybody's got something different, right? It is possible to get to the place where you get as excited as you are about spending money on something, you get that excited about giving it away when God tells you to. And it's not this, oh, what the heck? Okay, God, I'll give him $4, you know, but I was going to buy coffee with that. And, you know, just grinding away, giving it. Where you just go, absolutely, here, take it all. And you start having fun with giving. And I'm not just talking about church. I'm talking about your life. So look at Proverbs 11. 24, there is one who scatters, yet increases more. And there is one who withholds more than is right, but it leads to poverty. The generous soul will be made rich, and he who waters will also be watered himself. It's simple, so ridiculously simple stuff, even in nature, sowing, reaping, all, you've got to figure this out. Now people say, well, but you're teaching that you reap what you sow. That's what the Bible says. So if I give money, I'm going to get money back. Don't you think someone could abuse that? Most people that are greedy are too greedy to even try. They're not even going to test it. They won't part with any money to even see if the principle works because they're just hoarding everything they've got, right? So you won't even find out what's up. Go to John chapter 12. Now I'm going to swing way the other way, and I'm going to talk to you about some people in the scriptures, at least, who had trouble with money. This is not an exhaustive list, and it can be very severe in some cases. John chapter 12, let's just jump in at verse 3. Then Mary took a pound of very costly oil and spikenard, anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who would betray him, so you know who it is now, this woman has done something extravagant. Now let me tell you, before I even tell you what happens here. At some point in your life, the Holy Spirit is going to prompt you to give in an extravagant way. And you say, well, are you talking about the church? It may or may not be. That's not the point. You may be prompted to do something extravagant in Jesus' name for someone outside of the church. It's not about being in this building. It can be anywhere. But when he prompts you, you've got to be available and willing to obey. This woman pours out a very costly thing on him. So look what happens. Judas Iscariot, says, why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor? Why did we waste this oil? He was being anointed for his burial, and he's thinking we should have given this to the poor. Then the next verse, this he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the money box, and he used to take what was put in it. This guy had been stealing from Jesus from scratch. He was a thief. He didn't just betray Jesus, he was stealing. And you say, well, who are you robbing? In the long run, you end up robbing yourself, not God, not other people. It's yourself. You say, well, we could have done something. He didn't care about the poor. If you really care, if I really care about the poor, you know what'll happen? You find yourself helping the poor. You say, well, does that mean I'm supposed to give 10 bucks to the guy at the stoplight and all that? You know, you got to be wise about these things. But sooner or later, you're going to come across someone who is really in need, and the Holy Spirit will say now, and you have to have a mechanism that says, yes, sir. And you're willing to help and let it go through you. Go to Acts chapter 5, verse 1. Acts chapter 5. Now, this is very intense. And I don't know where this happens, if it happens anymore, but the fact that it's in here is pretty serious to me. A certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession. They had some property, something they had, they sold it. And he kept back part of the proceeds, his wife also being aware of it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. So you say, well, what's wrong with that? They sold it, they brought some to Peter's feet, gave it to the church who had just been born, and kept some. This doesn't seem to be a problem. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? So what went haywire here? Satan filled his heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself. What was going on here is people were selling stuff and bringing it all. And they thought, well, this is cool. We'll get in on it, but we're going to keep a little something, something for us. Then look what he says. While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. Then Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and died, breathed his last, drops dead. So great fear came upon all those who heard these things. And the young men arose and wrapped him up, carried him out, and buried him. Bam, he's buried, he's gone. Now, it was about 3 hours later when his wife came in, Ananias' wife came in, not knowing what had happened. And Peter answered her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. Just simple information. She said, yes, for so much. Then Peter said to her, how is it that you have agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord? Look, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out. Then immediately she fell down at his feet and breathed her last. And the young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her out, buried her by her husband. So great fear came upon all the church and upon all who heard these things. So you read it and you go, wow, that's intense. Lord, look at my heart. What am I thinking? Am I lying to you about stuff or to someone else? You know, you can be stealing, you can be lying and not even know it. Pay attention to what you're doing. You say, well, I don't believe in that. Okay, let's see how that works out for you. Because you can't mess with this God and nothing happened. It's not that he's against you, he's for you, but there's just things that happen. All right, go to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20, verse 32. Let's jump in there. And this is Paul writing. He says, so now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I have coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. Yes, you yourselves know that these hands have provided for my necessities and for those who were with me. I have shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Now, how many of you have been on the receiving end of a blessing? Raise your hand. Okay, a lot of people. And if I went around the room and said, what happened? In some ways, it's just crazy, extraordinary stuff. Personally, and as a family, I can think of times when I was in seminary, just my whole life, God showing up out of nowhere. As fun as that is, what he is trying to communicate here is, you think that's fun, wait till you get on the other end of it. Wait till you release all this stuff that you're holding on to and say, okay, God, what do you want to do? It's your money, whatever you want to do. And then you start getting creative with it. You hear about somebody who's in trouble, somebody who's lost their job, somebody who can't pay for their school, whatever's going on. And you find ways to covertly, anonymously, you put $100 in an envelope. You put $1,000 in an envelope. I've known guys who have opened bank accounts in New York with attorneys kind of being trustees over it where you couldn't trace, you just knew it came out of a bank, but you didn't know who because nobody could get the glory but God. And then money shows up for somebody and they've been praying and going, we're not going to make it, Lord. And bam, God shows up. You say, well, it wasn't God showing up, it was me. He shows up through us. God's not there printing money in heaven and dropping it out of the sky. Okay, are you getting any idea of this? You say, but what about me? That's your problem. It's all about you. At some point, it has to get beyond you. You see, but I've only got so much, and if I don't hold on to this, it'll never work. Let go of some of it. Go spend time with a farmer for a little while. Watch them for a year. They plant stuff. They sow stuff. They reap stuff. And what do they do with the seed? They don't sell it, eat it all. They keep some back and put it in the ground, or they'll be out of business. How insane is it, though, to take a seed and shove it in the ground thinking, well, I put a seed in the ground, I'm going to get a seed back. Yeah, like 100 times more back, because it blows up on you. Everybody gets that. It's the same way spiritually. You say, then if I give, God's going to make me rich. If that's your motivation, it's not going to work out really good, because then you're going to start hoarding again or spend it on yourself. God will find out pretty quick whether he can trust you or not. You say, well, I trust God. That's not always the question. The question is, can God trust you? Where were we? Acts. Let's do Romans 12. One more over here. Romans 12. Now, if you're reading about spiritual gifts, there's a thing called spiritual gifts in the Bible. One of these in Romans chapter 12, verse 8, he says, he who exhorts in exhortation. So he's listing some of them. He who gives with liberality. It is possible that you literally have a spiritual gift of giving. I know some of these people. They just have more fun than you can imagine. You say, yeah, but they're probably rich. You don't have to be rich to have a gift. It's just like easy for them. You say, well, they're just giving it away easy. They should hold on to that. Why? Because God finds out that they're a trustworthy conduit and they give and it comes around and they don't get caught up. You can only buy so much crap. So here's what could happen to you. You could walk into a DSW, I kind of know where all these places are. You walk into a shoe store and here's what can happen to you. You walk in and go, oh my gosh, oh, I'm gonna die and I've got a coupon. This is it. This has to be God's will, right? And you put them on and those little angled mirrors, you're doing this, or in my house, everybody's up on their toes, you know, it's a whole nother sermon. So you see the shoes and you go, Lord, wow, these are beautiful shoes. You know how I love shoes. Can I get them? Here's what really happens. Sometimes he'll say, yeah, you can buy the shoes. And sometimes he says, no. And then he does something extraordinary. He says, it's either the shoes, depending on what color, if it's the orange, the purple, the green, or, you know, that whole thing. You calculate how much it is, and he says, you can buy the shoes, or you can take the same amount of money and give it to that woman you heard is having troubles. And then you go, wow, but these shoes are just shoes, but I get to help. It's crazy fun. You see what I'm saying? You miss out on this stuff, and you go home going, oh, I got what I wanted, and then somebody missed out. You got to get in this frame of mind, this mode of saying, okay, God, let me have some fun with this. Make it funny money. You know, nobody, you're crazy. That's not possible. Try it. You can't imagine how much fun this is. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Keep going to the right. It's right after 1 Corinthians, if that helps. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, that in great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. So they're going through a terrible time, but it triggered them being willing to give. For I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, they were freely willing, imploring us with much urgency that we would receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. They're begging us, like, take the money. We're having a blast giving this. Well, of course, we're poor, but we want to play ball. We want to be in the game. And not only as we had hoped, but they now this is huge. If you're comfortable underlining stuff in the Bible, underline this. And not only as we had hoped, in other words, financially, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and then to us by the will of God. You're not going to give anything to anybody the healthy way until you have given yourself to the Lord. You got to turn yourself in by becoming a Christian first. You say, well, I don't know what that is. Jesus died on the cross, buried, raised from the dead. So you say, okay, God, I get it. I realize you paid my debt for my sin, died for me. I deserve it. You got it. So I accept this gift of eternal life. Come live in me, through me, change me. You become a Christian. So you've given yourself to the Lord. You can be a Christian and have taken yourself back and said, I want him to be Savior. I don't want to go to hell, but I don't want him to be the Lord. I don't want him controlling, running my life. So you give yourself to the Lord and then to us by the will of God. So we urge Titus that as he had begun, so he would also complete this grace in you as well. But as you abound in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all diligence, and in your love for us, see that you abound in this grace also. In other words, this grace of giving. I speak not by commandment, but I am testing the sincerity of your love by the diligence of others. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then he uses Jesus as an example. That though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. And in this I give advice. It is to your advantage not only to be doing what you began and were desiring to do a year ago, but now you also must complete the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to desire it, so there also may be a completion of what you have. Okay? So you say, well, I've got this willingness. I think I should do this. Follow through. And here's what will happen in this room and beyond. Anybody listening to this today, you go, oh my gosh, I know exactly what he's talking about. I need to act and do this. And then you get away from it and go, well, maybe not, because those shoes went down a little bit more and I'm going to go get the shoes. Don't let the enemy get in your head. Get rid of whatever it is God's telling you to get rid of. Next verse. For if there is first a willing mind, it is accepted according to what one has done and not according to what he does not have. So God is not asking you to give what he's not asking you to give, right? He's not saying go write a hot check and give it to some ministry and wait for it to bounce. That's not what he's saying. But you know what you have. For I do not mean that others should be eased and you burdened, but by an equality that now at this time your abundance may supply their lack, that their abundance also may supply your lack, that there may be equality. As it is written, he who gathered much had nothing left over, and he who gathered little had no lack. It goes back and forth. And then people say, well, I'm always on the giving end. I don't ever get anything back. Then you don't get it. It comes and goes. You may be up right now where you can give, and then somebody's down, and then, you know, then they get it the next time. God has a way of meeting the needs. Let him do it his way and let him use you. Don't miss out. This can be a blast. Go to another one. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. This will be the last one. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And it's interesting how he even approaches them, what he says here in verse 1. He said, now concerning the ministering to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you, for I know your willingness, about which I boast of you to the Macedonians, that Achaia was ready to go a year ago, and your zeal has stirred up the majority. Yet I have sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain in this respect, that as I said, you may be ready, lest if some Macedonians come with me and find you unprepared, we, not to mention you, should be ashamed of this confident boasting. Therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren to go to you ahead of time and prepare your generous gift beforehand, which you had previously promised, that it may be ready as a matter of generosity and not as a grudging obligation. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. I had a guy tell me 30-something years ago, just try to outgive him. Just try. You say, well, what if I do? You can't. What do you really need? Now, listen to the word I'm using. What do you need? The Bible talks about to be content with what? Food and clothing. There isn't anybody hardly listening to me, I promise you, fractional percentage of people who are not way past the basic food and clothing. That's not our problem. But yet we're not content with what we have, the abundance we have. Try it out, giving. Just try and see what happens. You say, well, how does that work? What's going to happen? It's supernatural. You say, well, I don't believe that. Exactly. And that's the problem. It's like trying to teach someone to farm and they don't know what it is. And so you say, okay, well, here's the deal. I'm going to give you 1,000 acres and a bunch of bags of seed. And here's what you do. This seed costs so much money, but you're going to empty all these bags and plant this out there in the dirt. And then you're going to let it, you know, a few months and it'll all blow up on you and you'll have a crop. I'm going to go sell my seed. I'm going to bury my seed out there and wait. I got cash money right here. But that's all you've got that can be multiplied. You have to just do simple agricultural, supernatural, put it in the ground. You say, yeah, but you're talking about church. If you get unlocked on this, the church is not going to have any problems. You're going to be used and you're going to have so much crazy fun, you won't even know what happened to you. I've had money show up at my house and completely mess me up. As fun as it is to open it and see the help, imagine if you got in the game and you were the one sending out the envelopes and just sitting around going, I wonder if they got their mail today. And then you go to church and someone stands up and says, you're not going to believe what happened to me. We opened our mail and this was in the mail and God provided our need. And I don't know who it was, but thank you, Lord. God gets all the glory and you sit there giggling with your wife because you got to play. You got to be in the game. Keep reading a few more verses and then we're done. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. The word for cheerful is a word in Greek, hilaros, where we get our word hilarious, funny money. God loves hilarious giving. Is that how you give? Not, oh crap, we got to give our 10% again, you know. Could have bought those shoes, but okay, God, here's your money. Write a check. God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. Straight out of the Bible. As it is written, he has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness while you are enriched in everything for all liberality. Where do you think you got the seed I'm talking to you about sowing? You say, well, I made the money. Where do you think you got the job to make the money? Well, I went to school, I'm smart. Where do you think you got the air and the lungs and the heart and the sustenance of your life every day to even do all that? Well, I'm what are you? Yeah, tell me what that is. You're completely dependent on God. That's what you are, unless you're just crazy. You cannot keep yourself alive. So the very life that you have to do the things that you do, it's all traceable to him or you're gone. So be really careful taking credit. So you say, Lord, you blessed me. I woke up today. I'm going to go to work. I can work. I can live. I can move, breathe, have my being. It's all about you. So whatever you want me to do, you just don't go buying crap. Okay, let me say this. I like eBay. I find stuff on eBay. I go, ooh, those are great looking shoes. You know, but you know what? Some days I go, no, I don't have permission. So don't do it. And you say, well, then I'll never get anything again. That's crazy stuff. You've got more than most people on the planet already.
Before Richard comes back to wrap things up for us today, I'd like to share a couple important things with you. Let me encourage you to take a minute and check out our website, richardellis.com. You'll find today's talk right there in the talks page, along with all of Richard's audio and video messages. You can even forward them to a friend so they can hear them too. You'll also find the prayer wall to add your prayer requests, a link so you can connect with us, the contribute page for you to be able to give to this ministry, all of our social media links, and much more. So check it out, richardellis.com. And Richard's back now to wrap up today's talk.
All right, keep reading just to the end of this little section. Verse 11, while you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God, for the administration of this service not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also is abounding through many thanksgivings to God, while through the proof of this ministry, they glorify God for the obedience of your confession of the gospel of Christ and for your liberal sharing with them and all men, and by their prayer for you who long for you because of the exceeding grace of God in you. And then look at verse 15. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. And what is that? Jesus. How can you receive Jesus and not want to give yourself away? Now, I get it. Some of you are going to just tighten up. You wear pants with zippers on, you know, in the pocket so nobody can get to it, right? Yeah, you can't have my money. I don't want your money. Because you don't get, first of all, that it's not your money in the first place. So there's the problem. Sometimes writing a check is the easy part. God doesn't want your money. He wants you. Because if he gets you, he's got everything. You say, okay, well, then you're trying to reach those people. No, now I'm after the hilarious giving. You say, well, I'm faithful and I love doing this. You can have more fun than you're having. Get creative. Have a blast with this. Make it hilarious. There are certain jokes that I read and I literally cry. I laugh so hard. That's what God is after, where you give and it is so fun, you find yourself crying. Funny money. Give that a whirl. And you say, well, is there anything like that in heaven? I think that's exactly what it was like when Jesus came down here. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the Father.
Thanks for tuning in today to Richard Ellis Talks. We all have busy schedules these days, so it means the world to us that you would take this time to listen. Richard would love to know how today's talk has touched your heart, so give us a call at 855-6-RICHARD, 855-6-RICHARD. You can also share your story with us at our website, richardellis.com. One last thing, Richard Ellis Talks is a daily program that is always expanding to reach the world with the good news of the gospel, but it also has daily costs. And being a listener-supported program like ours means we rely on the financial partnership of our listeners, which means you. We believe that these talks with Richard are making a difference in your life, so this is how you can make a difference to ours. You can contribute by calling 855-6-RICHARD or at our website, richardellis.com. Thank you for your generosity. God bless, and thanks for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.